Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello everyone, it is the Mate and Pajak podcast. I am Mate, that man right there, that wonderful, happy, smiling man that you see on your screen before you. It was not in any way, shape or form a frazzled mess of a human being.
I'm alright today.
Nonsense.
Yeah, okay.
Oh my god. Yeah, how are you doing? Yeah, you've poured a lot of time, and we've mentioned it for a few weeks on the run. We've put a lot of time into the Footy Manager stuff, you more than anyone by an absolute mile. And it would be nice to be at a point where it's all set, it's all templated, and all you've got to do is just do little funny bits. But it's not the case, is it, Chris?
No, it's not the case, Paul. No, it's not the case at all, mate. Anybody who watched the live stream the other night will have heard me serenade them in an introduction, and obviously swear at them a lot in the outro, which I don't think you were there for, Paul.
No.
I think you'd gone at that point.
Walked back in and you and Tom were talking, and it was like everyone could hear us, and I was like, oh, okay, cool, well, that's obviously everyone can hear you and you've done something to change that. So I carried on talking to you and then realised that no, the countdown clock was on and the mics were hot, every bit of conversation wasn't being broadcast. It was literally just your microphone, so that was you having one side of the conversations broadcast to several hundred people.
Yeah, which is mad, because the problem that we've had, so on Monday night I think I did a Skype with Lizzie Doyle, and after that I was like, right, I'm gonna sort this out, I'm gonna do a test. I got the other little phone and stuff, I've set up a blag little Skype account that I can do my own tests on and stuff, and then I was like, right, okay, I reckon I've got this boxed, no problem, you know, it's sorted, it's all good, we need to do a thing, recorded it all, and I wasn't doing it live, actually, and all that, sorted. I had yesterday off, and then I organised to do a test with Tom this morning, and he was like, and it was just Tom's audio that was being broadcast, not mine. So the complete opposite problem of what we had on Monday, right? And then the fucking program kept crashing, right? So I'm like, oh my god, what's going on here? So I spent a little bit of time on support, and then they were like, oh, do this. So I did all that, and I got it working again, and it was working, no problem. And I'd figured by absolutely, oh, what's the right terminology? I trial and errored the shit out of it. Okay, for an hour, I got to the point where everything was fine. I've no idea what I did, because I literally did 150 things, and I got to the point where one was working, and I didn't have an notepad, and I didn't write any of it down. So I text Tom, I was like, after my meeting, can you go again? He went, yes, Sam. So we did it all, and it was like, right, Tom's audio's still coming through. I'm like, what the fuck's going on here? Anyway, did a little bit more trial and error and the shit out of it. Managed to get it to the point where it all worked on stream. Only problem, oh no, I'm getting all confused. So I loaded it all up. Skype was the problem, Paul. Skype was the fucking problem. Skype's crashing the program. So I'm like, right, okay, I just need to find another way of getting video and audio from someone who's not in the same room as me in. Sound. Okay, sound. I know James did it via Discord. We'll just do it via Discord. It's not that easy to do it via Discord, Paul. It's not as simple as bring in the Discord. You have to create a voice widget, right? Which I created, and then I had to screen grab the you or Tom in this case. So I've got that in, no problem. Only issue, can't hear Tom on the stream. Right, okay. But worked it all out. Right, okay, we can do this. We can move this around. We can sort this out. Brilliant. We can hear Tom on the stream. Only issue, I can't hear him in my headphones. So it's like, right, so this is after like 4 hours of back and forth and throughout the day. So I've got to the point now where the stream's perfect, but me, I couldn't hear a word that you would say to me. So anyway, I've got a call organised with the OG of Discord voice and video chat, James Alcott. And he's going to fix it all for us, hopefully, tomorrow morning.
When you turned on, because obviously we've not been in communication all day up to this point, and you just had the sound and the expression is cheesed off. Just like, because there's nothing worse. I'm like this too. This is one of the things where we're both similar in. I think you mentioned it the other week, is that I don't like leaving projects unfinished. If I start something, I will wait. I'd rather... My lifestyle doesn't fit this as much anymore with kids, but like I'm the kind of person I would rather sit up till 5 o'clock in the morning and get it done than go to bed, get a good night's sleep, and start it and get it finished in the morning. It's just how I am. When I've got my teeth into something, I'd rather get it done. And I hate going and filming stuff. Like I don't like our setup for this at the moment, but it's got to be. I want all the footage in. I want it checked. I want it looking through. I'd rather do start to finish, because when you get called away, and this is one thing that happens more and more in life, and the older that you get, is that you get allotted amounts of time to work on things. That doesn't fit my brain. That makes me really like low key on edge about all things.
Do you find that like I get ridiculously absent minded with the present if I haven't finished something. So if like I've got something like this hanging over me tonight, let's say me and Kat decide to sit down and watch some telly, I won't remember any of the television because I'll just be thinking about what do I need to do here, and it's an itch that I absolutely have to scratch.
Yeah,
and I can't be in the moment anymore until I've done it. Are you the same in that regard?
I've gotten better at, in some regards, and I'm not perfect at it by any means. I'm okay at switching off in certain circumstances, but it needs to be, I know what I need to switch off. And the problem is, again, when you're growing up and you're in a relationship and stuff, often you can't get the perfect circumstances. Like if I know there's a problem and I need to solve it, but for some reason I can't solve it, I need to then do something that requires my focus. Like I need to go and watch. I can't watch a film I've seen before. I can't play a game I've played before. I need to be actively engaged in something. That's the only way I can unwind. And we've had this stuff for, you know, we've had a year or so ongoing of big businessy things that we've been dealing with, and I've really struggled with it because I don't see any reason why things should sit for a week when they can be done there and then. But of course it's not true. Life doesn't work that way. So yeah, I've had to get better at working out how to switch tracks in my brain, because yeah, that's one of my biggest weaknesses. Because you're right, I'll sit there and I'll be on my phone and I'll be drip feeding in towards the problem, or I'll just be a miserable bastard and be absolutely terrible company. And it's not Charlie's fault, but I will make out like it's her fault, not indirectly, because I've just got a face on it and a cob on. So no, I'm okay at it, but I wouldn't say it's something that I've got cracked in any way.
Yeah, see, it's mad. Like for me, it's like, you know, that stuff that you alluded to, the bigger stuff that we've been dealing with, I'm all right with that. I can switch off to that because I know that, you know, I know that there are certain things that have to be hit at certain times, and I respect that. But when I've got something like this, which, you know, we're going live in 24 hours and we have no way of going live in 24 hours, that will keep me up tonight. Like there's just no chance I don't try and fix that myself tonight before I speak to James. Like, I mean, because I won't be, I can't just switch off until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Yeah,
because I'll be like, well, that only gives me 8 hours to fix the problem. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it doesn't seem the right thing to do.
Can I ask, when did you do your homework of a weekend?
I didn't do my homework.
When you did do your homework, when did you do your homework?
I didn't do my homework.
Because it strikes me as your type of personality is the kind of person who would get their homework done at the start of the weekend. If only you'd had this mentality in school.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. I'd be the one doing it in the canteen at breakfast, mate. the weekend's mine, you know what I mean? The lesson before is probably where I did most of my homework, which meant that I was absent for the lesson, but yeah. I was doing homework for the next lesson.
Yeah, absolutely. I always wonder if there's anyone watching, are you that very special personality type, who the person who would come home on a Friday afternoon from school and do all the homework? I'm not. I like pressure. Like, I've realised that changing the schedule on this podcast has been a godsend, because prior to the lockdown, we had things in the bag, so we always had one in hand, and having one in hand meant there was no rush on it, but I would still do it as though it was like last minute. I'd still do it the day it had to go out. Whereas I like having that little bit of a kick to get things done. And also the problem is I also force myself into the situation because I am, and this is where we differ, I am a multiple tab person. Like I like to have four projects on the go at once, which means I'm never happy and I'm never settled. And I do have to, that's why I probably have had to learn how to switch off, because I never, there's always too many things, which is why I was up at 6 o'clock this morning running through every stressful possible thing in my entire life and trying to solve every single one of them at the same time, which I can assure all of you, and I'm sure most of you know, because I think a lot of us are having this at the moment, is not possible, because you can't fix your problems when you're half asleep in bed at 6 o'clock in the morning. It is not doable. But yes, there we go.
Unless your problem is I'm sleeping too much, you kind of fucked it.
Yeah, I'm having far too much sleep. Ding, tick. There we go. Solve that one, Prince. And then back to sleep. No!
No, you bastard.
Hello, everyone. Just a quick word from me, Mach. We have got our own Patreon, patreon.com/MachXPage. If you enjoy everything that we do on the podcast and on the YouTube channel and all the social media accounts as well, then you can help to support it and be part of our growing community. You get access to exclusive Discord groups, you get extra content and discounts from a variety of things and our partners that we've made along the way, including the fantastic Threads for Reds. You can get involved by heading to patreon.com/MachXPajach, and we'll see you there. Yeah, it's Chris, it's been an eventful week.
No, it hasn't.
Not in life, not in our individual lives, but in terms of the world and the world in which we inhabit. I want to talk, because obviously you went big on the government last week, as we recorded last Wednesday, and all the leaks were happening to all the right wing press about what the end of UK lockdown was going to look like. Boris Johnson came up with his pre-recorded speech on Sunday at 7, which I want to talk about in a second, but obviously for people outside the UK, you're maybe not up to date on this. He came up with one of the most basic top line concepts, and plans, as it were. And then now we're currently in a world where some of this might date really quickly, but more details and blanks are being filled in day by day. But
what
by and large,
Rafa Benitez have said about this,
that we need to be more compact. I don't know what.
Maybe that is flying an aeroplane, or is that a Rogersism?
Oh, it's Rogers trying to build the aeroplane while it's already in the air.
Kind of feels like that's what we're doing, to be honest with you.
Can we focus first and foremost though on that video from Boris Johnson? And I said this on Twitter. There's no chance. The reason why he's pre-recorded that, and there's loads, but one of them, and it stuck out to me like a sore thumb as someone who's worked in video for so long, he could not possibly have delivered that speech live. He could not have done that without the benefit of no, stop, cut, what are you talking about, read the auto cue, Boris. Because you can see the way he got it, when he's listing all the different people, the different types of workers and the people working in the industry, and saying how brave they are, and he's getting his fist clenching and he's pounding on the desk and all that. They've tried to give him this, and I've said this last week, this like Churchillian style vibe that all the Tories get so wet for, and you can't do that because he isn't that. He doesn't have the ability to do that off the cuff. He just sounds like a stumbling moron, which is what he is. And that was that. It got me about, like, it was seeing so much propaganda in full flow. And that was just like, I saw people, it was Ben Stokes, the cricketer, saying, like, I really enjoyed the way he delivered it. And I just
felt like he was in my living room.
Oh, Ben Stokes is an
unfollow. I don't think I was weapon. Following him anyway, because, you know, cricketer.
Yeah. He's just a, and I just thought, you moron. And I get it. And, like, you know, I get it. I get why, you know, what it's been done for a reason. Some people will fall for it. And maybe a bit harsh calling people morons. But it was just so obviously done. It was such a big thing to do it pre-recorded. I thought it was a massive cop out.
I mean, it means that you can't ask him questions. Doesn't it? It's where it really comes down on. And look, it failed miserably, that speech, regardless. I just like the idea that, you know, there's somebody off camera in his ear telling him what to do with his hands. So they're like, milk the cow, and he goes, rrr. And then it's like, wank yourself, and he's like, rrr.
Bang the drums, boom.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And I'd just like to be that person, to be honest. That'd be like, punch yourself in the face. No, harder. No, actually do it, please, Boris.
Brush your hair.
Yeah.
Look,
that whole thing was a fucking joke, wasn't it? Because as everybody knows, as it's all over, you know, social media and stuff now, it's that he has now turned all of everything that has been pointed at him back on the British public. And it's our fault, because now it's good British common sense, mate.
Come on. Well, this is it, isn't it? What they've done, they've not changed anything. We'll talk about stay alert in a minute, by the way, because Chris, no, he wasn't alert. There we go. You're on it.
Like, I'm looking out for invisible things, mate. So
Corona!
I'm like, well, hang on a minute, I can see you coming. There's no need to be alert here. I need to watch out for that invisible stuff.
It's that thing, innit? You're right, turn it onto the British public, because all they've done with this announcement is all of this stuff was happening anyway. So people were already going to parks, and they were already sunbathing, and they were already breaking social distancing measures in that. And people were already going out and meeting family members in public spaces. People were already travelling to go to different parks just to mix things up and go on different, more interesting walks. So what they've done is, you're right, they've just gone, okay, well, you're allowed to do that now. So all of a sudden, it's not a failure in policing. It's now been handed over to the British public. Here's a length of rope. When we're forced to make more draconian measures, it's your fault. And I mean, in some regards, Chris, I get it. I said this last week, and probably the week before. I think people have had enough, and they did need to change the message. So I get it. From a marketing perspective. Change the colouring, change the messaging, just slightly tweak what you're telling people to do. And it, like, everyone's talking about, everyone's joking about staying alert. So it's working in some regards. People have, it's refreshing the message means people aren't quite as bored and therefore aren't as likely to just not do it out of, like, you know what I mean? Out of boredom and contempt. But it's clearly not ready. They're not ready to make major changes, because they haven't made any major changes.
No, there were 621 deaths yesterday, and it was 200 each day the day before. You know, the 2 days before. So it went up 400 deaths there. Now that says to me that you haven't got it under control with the measures that are in place currently. I think the worst thing that they could have done was leak that stuff to the right-wing press, because the lockdown was effectively over before the lockdown was over. So you lost a few days there. We're not going to find out what happens for another probably 2 to 3 weeks. But judging by the pictures that I've seen of people getting on and off the buses and the trains in London the last couple of days, London's going to become a hotspot once again. I think they seriously need to think about a more regional plan rather than a national plan at this point. Because I think, you know, putting us under the same rules as London, it's not that big a thing. I've heard there's 47 cases of COVID-19 in the Royal Hospital. I can't tell you where I've heard that from, but it's a figure, and that was yesterday. So that's where we're at the moment. I know that there's not many in Wiston Hospital. I know that there's none in Broad Green Hospital right now. But then I have also heard that the original plan for the NHS in Liverpool was that...
You went a bit silly there, mate.
You know what? I was trying to think of what it was called, because they all have different, like, Knowsley and all that. And I just went Liverpool for the NHS, didn't I? So, Yeah, so in Liverpool, the idea was... Did I do it again?
No, that's fine.
Okay. In Liverpool.
Liverpool!
The idea was that every COVID-19 case was all going to go to the Royal, I think, and all the other hospitals were going to be okay, but it came too quickly because of Atletico Madrid. And they weren't able to move the ventilators and stuff to the Royal, so it ended up getting spread around, and actually probably more cases have developed in Liverpool because of that, because they were going to essentially quarantine COVID-19 to one hospital, not have them mix with other different things, and because they didn't have time to get the ventilators or the equipment and the nurses over to the one hospital, they had to spread it out. So now that Broad Green's gone down to zero, they're hopeful that they actually might be able to get that sort of quarantine, as it were, into one hospital. Anyway, so the idea is, like, Liverpool might not need the same tough lockdown measures as London. In two weeks' time, when London's fucked again, Liverpool might not, because we're all sensible.
Well, you're seeing this in other countries where they're starting to ease the lockdown, and they're doing it regionally, aren't they? They just, whenever there's regions are being colour-coded effectively by what stage and condition the virus is at, and so that when it ramps up, they're ready to isolate it in a particular area. It doesn't feel like that, but you know, we might be getting ahead of ourselves. The thing that struck me about the messaging on Monday, because you start to realise, and we had the chat about the
Monday or Sunday, sorry mate, Sunday, his speech on what came out when they changed their minds on a lot of it Monday.
Well, yeah, Sunday, Monday is the... Because we were talking about the football thing last year, and I want to talk about football coming back, because obviously we know footy's got the green light to come back in the Premier League potentially anyway, and we will do that a little bit later on. But we talked about getting to that, I think, and I kind of agreed with your point last week about how, look, if footballers want to earn the wage, then they're going to have to go back to work. But I actually got it firsthand, the ridiculousness of the whole situation, and I can understand, it kind of made me double back on the point I was making last week. I can understand why footballers, and I can understand why people are so reticent to dive into things, and why people are so scared by stuff, because it's how vague the messaging is. It's insane that they're allowed to get away with stuff like, because we saw it in our house, so they go, right, so kids are going to be back in school from the 1st of June. That's nursery, well, they didn't say nursery at the time, they said nursery after the fact. Reception year one and year six. So my wife is a reception teacher at the moment. So basically she was told in Boris Johnson's message, she's back in work on the 1st of June. But there's no more information than that at the time. So that's like 24 hours until they then start to leak or release a bit more, and there's a bit more discussion around it before a little bit more information starts to come out. And that's actually, you know, schools don't know any more information. Nobody knows it, but you're being told you're back in work, and that's what you're being told. So that's cast iron. You're going back to work because the government's decreed it. But right now, the situation is, well, what does that mean? What are the details of that? You're supposed to go back to work. I mean, they did this with the people who can't work from home. Absolutely got shafted on Sunday night, because effectively they got told, you're in work in 12 hours, lads. Get your high-vis jackets ready, because you're back on the site on Monday morning. And what they've created, this mad world where we've been ramping up, we've been talking about all the bad things about the virus, we've been playing up the fear, which is important because everyone needs to be alert and they need to understand the severity of it, but they haven't updated that message. But then they're telling people to go back to work, and they're expecting people to go, okay, fine. It is, like, I've seen the impact that has firsthand, telling people that our teacher's going to be given PPE. What were the class sizes going to be like? Who are there going to be more than one adult in the classroom? How are they going to fit them into the classrooms? How are they going to ensure that the spread doesn't go? What happens if someone gets ill in the class that you're teaching? What happens if the teacher gets ill? Who replaces them? There's loads of these questions, and they've just gone and opened a massive can of worms and expect everyone to go on this whole, oh, Great British Braille News, we'll just make it work. It is maddening. It's maddening, the stupidity.
I don't understand why, if you were in that position of the government, and I do not want to be in that position, and I don't think I could solve the issues, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I do think there are people in this country who can. I just don't know any of them by name, unfortunately. So like, the first thing I would do if I was in that situation is I wouldn't mention that. Like, that, why mention that? why not just talk about the next 7 days? Why not give them an even vaguer plan of, we will start to think about the schools coming back once we see that these measures are in place. Like, I get, and it was nice from a point of, I wasn't really involved in any of it apart from Robin might go back to school. It was nice to say, okay, well, this, but I was also looking at it, right, Paul, and the one big thing for me was that fucking graph. Like, yeah, the big graph that he had on the screen. And I'm looking at that going, as a guy who makes a lot of graphs, right? And you might not have seen this, and probably people who don't will be like, oh, it's strange that you picked this up. That was done over a time scale.
Yeah.
Because it was a number of cases, but they never said time on the bottom. It was taken off. It was just a long line across the bottom. And we went like that, and we peaked. And then there was this massive line here. At some point, there was a timescale attached to that graph because that would have had to have been. And I looked at it and went, right, that's 2 months. We don't get to the schools bit by eye until like 6 months, to be honest with you. And that graph probably goes on for 18 months to 2 years. And he's talking about June the 1st. And I'm like, well, it could be that it was just graphically designed.
Yeah.
But that would be really stupid.
To make it a graph when it's actually... It's a drawing, what it is.
Yeah.
They've drawn a picture, not made a graph.
Yeah, so why would you do that? So I'm like, all right, so you've taken the timeline off it. I think I'm right on this. So it's either a drawing or they've taken the timeline off it. Yeah. And if they've taken the timeline off it, don't expect the schools back on the 1st of June, because that's miles away, by judging from what we've seen at the start that was all in red until the dip.
But that's a good point, actually. Yeah, it's mad. There's just so many just mad things about it. And I think so much of it was geared around the people who were in government. Because there's loads of people, I'm sure, who went, kids back in school, yes. And on a top line sense, yeah, you know, you're going to get that kind of reaction. And for me, it ties into the whole nannies are available to start work again. Shock. Shock that nannies are able to go into people's homes now and look after kids. Honestly, the Tories have made nannies priority. Like, so I can't bring... No, but think about it, Chris. Like, my wife is a professionally trained early years professional. She went to college, university, to train to be a teacher. She's not allowed to go into your house and look after your kids because you're not paying her to do that job. But if you were to pay someone to do that job, they're allowed to do that job. And like aunties and uncles can't come into it. And you know why? Because for a start, obviously there will be a degree to which they're shit scared of people just completely flouting the rules. But also that doesn't help the economy because it's free. Mm. It's free for family members to come and help out people in that kind of regard.
So Paul, can you answer me this? Is Charlie allowed to go to her mum's house?
No.
So why can she go into a classroom with 10 people?
I know. That's the point. That's why it's... And this is the thing. What's going to happen? She's terrified because... And rightly so, by the way. Because there's NHS workers, right? NHS workers. These are people who work in the medical profession whose job it is to be face-to-face with the sick, and they are not being given the correct protective materials to stop them from getting sick in turn. And teachers are now being told that they have to go back into work with classes, I think, of 15 kids. So there's 15 people coming in each day who go off and live their myriad lives, who could be picking things up all along the way. Are teachers going to be given proper protective gear? Are classrooms going to be properly spaced out? Is it all going to be a proper working environment to be as safe as possible? Possibly, because they've got 3 weeks to work it out.
Come off it, lad.
Exactly. But what are the odds? What are the odds that anyone will give a shit about the health and safety of teachers in 3 weeks' time when they don't even care about the NHS workers?
There's absolutely no one's taken that bet at all. Let's just think about the pure... Let's just make up some numbers like they do, right? So how many cases are there, COVID-19 cases in the UK so far? Few hundred thousand?
Go ahead.
Few hundred thousand. How many people are in year one, year reception in year six... plus their teachers? Well, I guess it's fucking about the same or more, right?
Okay.
They could not provide, over the course of 7 weeks, enough PPE for those COVID-19 cases. Are you telling me they can provide enough PPE for every classroom in the country plus teachers in 3 weeks' time when they still don't have the PPE now? And are you telling me that businesses aren't now buying up stock of PPE? So yeah, all the ones that they said can go back to work, Mackies will be buying this stuff up anyway. You've got big TV productions who are now going back to work, who are going to be buying up PPE for all of their members of staff. Now, every business in the bloody country who's going back is now in a race to buy PPE, because that's what's going to stop them from starting making money again.
Yeah.
And you telling me that the government are going to be able to procure that PPE in that capitalist culture and provide it to free for teachers?
Ha! Chris. Yeah. Chris, in an industry... In an industry where teachers are buying fucking pencils for their students and buying glue sticks because the budget won't cover it when you get toward the end of a school term and all of the bits and pieces that you need are gone, teachers are paying their own money to make sure the kids have got writing implements in classes up and down the country, and it's prevalent in the Northwest. I can't. This is it, and it is insane. Now, like on flips of this, we're kind of looking some regard. Like my kids' school is amazing. It's a brilliant school, and there is like the teacher. We got an update from their school. It went out at like 3 a.m. on like I think it was either Sunday night / Monday morning or after that. I think that was right. So their head teacher had sat up till 3 o'clock in the morning, digesting what she could and working out a very rough, very loose plan. And they've said as well, and they've also tried everything to calm everyone's nerves. They said, look, no, this is compulsory. We know that parents won't be fine for not sending the kids in and all this kind of stuff. But like, there's people who are working really hard to make this happen. But there are loads of examples where schools are just not going to be able to cope with this. And they're going to get railroaded, because we're seeing it already, Chris. There's going to be the guilt that comes, and the guilt will fall on teachers, because it always does. Nobody ever thinks of teachers as the heroes. They always think of them, because everyone's got these negative connotations about a bad school teacher they had and all this kind of stuff. They never get the respect they deserve. They never get the funding that they need. And they're going to end up railroaded back in, because teachers naturally, I said this last week, I think, it's a vocation. It's a passion for you to be a teacher. You're born, for a lot of people, not true of everyone, by the way, mainly PGCE people, but it's a passion. So you'll go and do it because you feel a sense of duty. And teachers, same as nurses, same as doctors and all that, and the teachers and schools will reopen out of a sense of duty to the welfare of the students, to the bout of the state, and teachers and children will be put into harm's way. Because I have no confidence that the government will do anything to make this right. And again, it will be put down to individual schools, Chris. This is what they're saying. This is your target. You've got to get up these amount of kids in. Go and figure it out. Brilliant. And you know what? Maybe they'll come up Trumps. Maybe they will. But right here and now, it's insane. Can I, if you'll just indulge me for another moment, one of my son's, the mum of one of his mates in school posted this on Facebook, and you might have seen it. And it's a conversation from a parent talking to the kid, and he says, "Good news, kid, you get to go back to school." "Oh, great! So the germs are gone?" "Yeah, pretty much. I mean, technically, there's more deaths per day than there was when they closed the school, but I'm sure it's fine." "I can't wait to play with my friends." "Well, yeah, you might see some of your friends, but you won't be able to touch them or play with them." "Why?" "Well, because of the germs." "But there aren't any germs now." "Right, but there might be, so you can't go close to your friends." "Oh, well, at least I'll see them." "Well, you might not see all of them, because you might not be in the same classroom." "Oh, but I'll be in my classroom though, right?" "Well, you might not be, because you'll have to spread out a bit." "Spread out to where?" "To the other classrooms." "But won't the other classes be in their rooms?" "No, the other classes won't be there." "Why?" "Because of the germs." "But why am I the only one going back?" "Because you're small and you can spread out more, because you don't take so much space." "Honestly, no one knows, mate." "Oh, well, at least I'll see my teacher." "But wait, Mum, how will my teacher be in all the classrooms at once?" "Well, you might not have your teacher." "Who will I have?" "I don't know." "Okay, if I'm going back to school, can you get me my new school shoes? Remember you said I could get my new school shoes because my feet have grown?" "Right, yeah. It's not safe to open the shop, so we can't get shoes. But it's safe for me to go to school?" "Yeah, maybe. Unless there's a spike in the virus, then we might have to stay home again." "How will they know if there's a spike in the virus, Mum? Hospital admissions and the number of deaths. But what if I've already got it by then from going to school?" "Well, you probably won't die because you're young." "Do children not die then?" "Most of them don't." "But grown-ups do?" "Yes, some. But what about my teacher?" Mum, is it okay if I don't go back to school? It doesn't sound like the right time. Yeah, yeah, mate, you're right. Let's stay home. Fucking hell. And it couldn't be more genius. Spot on. Yeah, genius. Honestly.
No, I've not seen that. That's absolutely fucking brilliant.
Yeah, an act of genuine genius there. So yeah, we await more information with bated breath. I want to follow into the football stuff, Chris. Because
well, before we do, can we just talk a little bit about Keir Starmer? Because you know, as a guy who definitely is probably now described as hard left, even though I never really considered myself that until recently, but people keep telling me I am. So fuck it, why not?
Yeah, why not?
I don't know a lot about Keir Starmer, and I don't like actively know, you know, pretend to know much about his career and stuff. But I did a little bit of digging. Obviously, I watched him in Prime Minister Question last week, and again, was it today? And he's brilliant. And do you know why? He was a fucking barrister. So yeah. If there was one area that you know he was going to be good, it's Prime Minister's Questions. And I just wonder whether, as an opposition, that might be what we needed.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because
did you see what he took him to task with today with the statement? So let me see if I can find this for you, mate. And it's unbelievable. He basically said to Boris Johnson, right, okay, here's what you said, and then read something verbatim. Mm. And the Prime Minister said, no, that's not what we said. And then he's tweeted and wrote a letter and said, and asked Boris Johnson to come back in to set the record straight, because he got it from documentation that Boris Johnson, he read verbatim from documentation, completely trapped him.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So now Boris is like, he's basically been asked to go back in and set the record straight and stuff. Which is madness.
I do must admit, I saw him in the House of Commons the other week, and I thought he conducted himself really well. But you can see already, can't you? See what I want to talk about? That video that came out of him saying, "Have you got what you need?" Clapping the NHS, and you just it begins already. And the context. Did you see the context of this? Because
he wanted to go and get his daughter from the other side of the road, and he was basically saying, "Oh, are you all finished now? Can I go and get my daughter?" Which is completely different to the way it was like, oh, right, we've got you here just for me to clap. That's what fucking the media and politics is, unfortunately. The moment
and I was a bit worried about Keir Starmer, if I'm honest. My first impressions were, you know what we're like in Liverpool, like seeing that someone's a Knight of the Realm doesn't make me think that's someone I want to be associated with naturally, which, I mean, Kenny Dalglish has probably helped that a little bit. But, I'm naturally more wary of that. But you're right, he carries at least, compared to Boris Johnson, he looks like he actually sounds and looks like a politician. Which Jeremy Corbyn didn't, you know. As much as I absolutely adore Jeremy Corbyn, and you know, and I think he got it. Someone's mentioned it in the comments last week. Jeremy Corbyn definitely not anti-Semitic, by the way. Let's just draw a line under that. A really nice guy, but obviously, for whatever reason, his own party weren't getting behind his politics, whatever. Yeah, I must admit, I like the cut of Keir Starmer's jib so far, because Boris Johnson just looks like a shambling mess. And he at least, again, looks like he's a man who's fit for purpose.
Yeah, he does, mate. So I'm definitely looking forward to Prime Minister's questions, and hopefully it'll be enough, because I keep hearing that Boris Johnson's stuff going up. He's polling better. I was speaking to my mum, and at the start, my mum was like, oh, he's doing an all right job. And I was like, he's not, mum. And then, the last 2 weeks, she's gone, no, he's useless, isn't he? And I'm like, yeah. Like, you know what I mean? And now, so people are starting, like I say, at the start, she was like, he's doing okay. And I'm like, no, it's not. And then now, all of a sudden, people are starting to turn. But that's not apparently showing up in the polls and stuff at the moment.
Because they're keeping him away, and he's keeping himself away from the public spotlight as much. But he's not. This was like when they were.
You mean he's throwing Matt Hancock to the wolves every day?
Well, yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%. Mate, this is like the general election all over again, when he went missing and stopped doing interviews because all he could ever do is make himself look worse. He's the kind of prime minister who gets better by staying away and just being a bit of a meme, being a bit of a clownish buffoon. Because the more he opens his mouth and the more you get to see who he is as a person, you start to see through it. You start to see through the stupid haircut and the British bluster, and see that he's just a horrible little scref who doesn't deserve to be in the role that he's in. But again, he should have been that Sunday night. And I can see a logic. If I'm playing devil's advocate, I can see the point of having a clear and concise basic message, because there are a lot of moving parts to it. So I can understand some logic behind it. But your people should be there to be grilled, because that's what we put them in office for. Well, we didn't put them in office, but you know, that's what they're in office for. They are accountable to us. They make those decisions for us, and we should be able to ask questions. Then you've got pre-recorded questions, you know, being answered by him and all that kind of stuff. It's
on the pre-record thing, I disagree with it, but I understand the reason, same as you. Why 7 o'clock at night?
Yeah,
because that was just unfair on everyone that got barged in to go into work Monday morning. You know what I mean? That was just shocking. If you've pre-recorded it, just get it out. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not like you've got a vision mix, three cams there, boys. Just one camera. Yeah. You know, it's just end export.
Well, it's because he's decided he's having a day off and he doesn't want it. You know, that's it. Job done. Click send. Mission accomplished. I can go back off and get back on my jollies and what have you. It's all very, very dodgy. I caveat all of this with, it's unprecedented times. The problem is that if this country existed in isolation, then it would be easier to give them, I think, a little bit more, I don't know, not necessarily credit or praise, but a little bit more leeway, to be a little bit more forgiving of their approach. But we are not the only country going through this. This is the problem that America's got. Is that if America lived in isolation, if America was like North Korea, there'd be no issues because they'd have no outside people to compare to. And that's why North Korea gets away with being North Korea, is that you can tell them they won the World Cup and no, there's no way of knowing. So, hey, we won the World Cup, go ahead. America acts like North Korea like that. But then the people have got the internet, and the educated people in America look at us and go, this is an absolute joke. But unfortunately, we're seeing more and more that we've got enough. There's just enough stupid, gullible people who are prepared to give them enough time, and not because they believe in power.
When you've got Wales, Scotland, and Northern Ireland all not relaxing the lockdown rules, and the UK relaxing the lockdown rules, I mean, you've got a serious issue there. The fact is that he's the Prime Minister, and they want all the four nations wanted to stick to the same plan, and there was one person and one country that decided to do something different. It wasn't the other way around. It wasn't Wales and Northern Ireland rejecting his plan. It was right, let's all stay together. No, we're going to do this. Are you with me? No. You know,
that's right.
I mean,
look, don't get me wrong. I'll never forgive the SNP for basically meaning that Labour can now never be elected in the UK again because they took the Scottish vote. But I don't know enough about Nicola Sturgeon on a top line. But in issues like this, you look at there and go, Exactly. She's a leader, and I look at her compared to Boris Johnson, and it's an embarrassment, really, an absolute embarrassment. It's mad, isn't it? You know, when you're right, like you can drive half an hour out of the city of Liverpool into Wales. Well, you can't technically, but you know what I mean is, you know, you can cross it, but you could walk to Wales from here and be under a completely different set of lockdown rules, and it's just air. It's air and land in between the two of them. It's balmy, like, you know. I get it if you want to set a different set of rules in you know. And if Ireland would have a completely different set of rules, they can do because it's an island and they've got their own borders and all that kind of stuff. Like, fine, but now the alarm bell should be ringing. It's when you see all those VE Day knobheads. Nothing wrong with celebrating VE Day, by the way. An absolutely pivotal moment in history for the entirety of Europe and the people who dedicated their lives and gave their lives to free Europe from, you know, Nazi tyranny and all that kind of stuff. Absolutely should be remembered. But the people who went out doing congas and the people who went out to street parties and broke social distancing laws, and now we're entering into a period where what's going to happen? There's going to end up, they've loosened lockdown. There's going to be a massive spike. There will be, whether it's massive enough to change the plans, I don't know. We can't know. But there's bound to be, because every time you always see it in, like, those American states when they have the protests and there's a rise in cases immediately on the back of people protest. Yeah.
It depends what you're looking for. It depends if you're looking to keep us safe or you're still aiming for herd immunity, doesn't it? Because if they're aiming for herd immunity, they're doing a bloody good job of it. Because, you know, you relax it. Like, even this idea that you can go to the park and you can see your mum in the park now, but you have to stay 2 metres away. What's the difference between four of you are all keeping a metre, 2 metres away from each other, and two of you? Well, actually, it's probably, if you do come into contact, it's how many people you can move on after that, you know what I mean? And we saw if you remember at the very beginning of all of this, one person, four people, eight people, and it just, you know, it just goes up. Yeah. Those one-to-ones, you're still, like, you're probably reaching a third of the amount of people.
Yeah.
So it's just enough to keep it running through us. You know, like, sort of just make its way through the population.
I'm 100% convinced they've just changed enough so that just to make sure that people are paying attention. That's all they've done. They've not made any, you know, and then it opens up the conversation of what it can look like further down the line. And fingers crossed, touch wood, that we're going to get to a position where things can start to open up and life can start to return to normal. But what they've done there, as I say, I saw a great one, like, it's the Alan Partridge line of, like, they've rebadged it, you fool. That's basically all they've done. They've just changed the wording, they've changed the colouring, and they've slightly altered the phrasing to let people get away with stuff they were going to do anyway, and they're just going to sit back and, again, but all the blame will fall on us.
The problem is, I disagree with that we're going to do it anyway. Because you're going to get dickheads who are going to go against it regardless, but now you've got, like, that, they're not naughty school kids, but they're also not good school kids. So the goody two shoes are still going to stay in and going to do that.
Yeah.
But those ones who are sort of in the middle, like, they're probably just going to go with the fucking naughty kids now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's like you've probably gone from having a small percentage of the population to a quarter of the people in the country are just going to flaunt the rules now because they are the confusion. Like,
but I think, there's obviously no way of knowing, but the way it was going anyway, I think you're right. Maybe it exacerbated slightly, but I think there's people who were never going to do it. I know loads of people who are just, they're not sending the kids back to school. They're going to continue to stay at home. They continue to follow the original advice and all that kind of stuff. There's probably lots of people who are on the fence who another week of it would have just gone, oh, forget it. I'm going out anyway. Because here's the thing, right? It's all made up. The policing of it's all made up anyway. And that's what they've done. All they've done is they've taken away accountability from the police. So the police now don't have to go into parks and shout at people for nothing and waste the time. The police accountability's gone for all this now because we're now self-policing on all of this stuff. And this is the thing, you know, I've been out and about, you know, we've been on walks, I've been to the shops, I've come into the office, and there's no one stopping cars on the street. You know, police aren't pulling people over and asking where they're going. You know what I mean? We've been self-policing the whole time. They've just basically, they've let themselves off the hook. They've given themselves less accountability, which is just, I mean, it's so blindingly obvious, but, you know, we'll just have to see how it goes. Anyway, we've done a lot on this. Let's talk the football. The Premier League, Chris, all things being well, which is still a long way off, we know that it's not going to be null and voided now, which is from a Liverpool fan perspective, tremendous news.
Yes. Sporting integrity wins out, and it looks like it's going to be decided on sporting merit, doesn't it, Paul? Which is the main thing. You know, you've still got, you know, I think today it's come out and talked about whether actually we might be able to use Anfield and Goodison. They're talking about 10 stadiums. Anfield and Goodison would be one of those, or two of those stadiums, I should say. So we might be able to win it at home. So it's boss. Like, of course, it's brilliant. Now you just want to find out when. You know what I mean? And that's the next stage, isn't it? You know, there have been positive talks. Premier League clubs are going to continue to speak. They're going to be continuing slowly to drip feed this information. But the fact of the matter is, it looks like, touch wood, right now, Liverpool will be confirmed champions at some point, whether by playing two more games to the point where we win two more games or whatever, or by them going right points per game. Because there's no model that they can come up with that makes Liverpool not champions.
Yeah,
if we're not having other games played, which it's, is great. And more importantly, Paul, now you're going to believe this.
You're going to believe. What was that like? I noticed all it all got ramped up again this week. Ross has used that picture of the Premier League trophy on all the social media accounts. Yeah, no, it's right. And I think, again, just speaking purely as Liverpool fans on this, I've just done a video of this that's going to be out on my YouTube channel, but just breathing a sigh of relief, because it would be, there's obviously bigger issues at stake and all that kind of stuff, like, but yeah, null and void being taken off the table from a pure Liverpool perspective is brilliant. It's the news we were looking for. I still hope, and I think we would all hope, and not just as fans but also as people whose business is in the football industry, that the games can be played, because I did a video on the asterisk thing last week. Liverpool having an asterisk next to their league title win won't arse me in any way, shape or form. It will be a sad reminder of a sad time, and it will remind me that we didn't get to see a great side do it the way it should have been done. But I want us to complete the season for that, because I don't want there to be a note against it. If it has to be points per game, it has to be points per game, and at least we will see Liverpool crown champions.
Why would there be an asterisk, Paul?
The asterisk would be because they had to use the points per game method to see the season out, so the games weren't played out, so it would be the first season to not be fully played to its completion. I believe that's the thinking on it.
And so who decided there'd be an asterisk?
That's what the talk, isn't it? I don't know.
Is that just what fans of rival clubs have said, or you've seen on Twitter, or did anybody... from the FA or the Premier League come out and say we'll put an asterisk by it if the season's not finished? Because they haven't.
Yeah. Yeah, true enough. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, like, great. Nice one. Well done, fans. You've decided. Because what if they wanted to use a squiggly line or an apostrophe? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, why is the asterisk so fucking good in this situation?
I'd be putting a smiley face next to it. I mean, there are examples, aren't they, I think, in sports and history where, like, leagues have been cancelled and all that. So it's been done in the past, I think, is it. But you're right. The Premier League haven't come out and said there will be an asterisk next to it.
And do you know what the asterisk would mean for me anyway? Liverpool were, like, fucking... All I'll think is, oh, that's the season we were 25 points ahead of everyone and we were about to break the record of points and largest ever win. That's why they're highlighting it. Because I'd probably do that with a big fucking yellow highlighter anyway, personally. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's the season where we gave them no reason to null and void it because we were so far ahead. That's the season where they were telling the Premier League to give us the title now in December. That's that season. Great. Brilliant. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Are you right? At least in like 20, 30 years' time, when you're scanning through the seasons trying to work out where Liverpool's next period of domination began, it's going to be dead easy to find if there's a little star next to it. Yeah. How are you feeling about the whole thing? Obviously, you know, the Bundesliga is meant to, barring any complications, going to be starting at Saturday lunchtime. They're going to be televising loads of the games. We talked a bit about this, you know, over the last couple of weeks and what have you. I can still get it. And doing the teaching things kind of put it into a little bit of contrast for me. I understand footballers' reticence, you know, about wanting to come back, but equally, because they fall under the same arguments as a lot of the stuff I've done in defending teachers, but at least we know that, you know, footballers are going to be the best they're going to have the best of everything around this stuff. It's just whether, you know, and we actually did this on the Redmen podcast. If Kyle Walker comes out against this, my God, he is getting absolutely decked. Mr. I don't believe in social distancing is getting absolutely flopped if he comes out against coming back to play football. But there needs to be more, doesn't it? What I was saying on my channel today was, at the moment, it's a square peg in a round hole. Because we work in the Premier League towards fitting it back in again. And at the moment, given the way the world is and without enough information, it doesn't look like football can work given the current climate. Yeah. There's going to have to be work done between now and you know, the 12th of June, they're talking.
Yeah, I think that's where it comes down to. I probably feel exactly the same as you. I don't know what you've said on the video, obviously, but for me, what we are doing when we're seeing Premier League plans and plans for this and plans for that, and it's down the line and it's 6 weeks, 8 weeks away, you instantly think, what does that look like today? You compare it to what we're in right now. And if you were to go back 8 weeks, we weren't in lockdown. So if you'd have told me in 8 weeks this would be what was happening, I'd be like, nah, not really, mate. Come on, don't be silly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So now for me to judge a plan for 8 weeks away, you know, it's very hard for me to imagine it getting better than this at the moment, because it's just been like this. So I think you need to compartmentalise it a little bit, and you need to trust that they get that right. I think for me, you know, I personally think it's too early. I think if there's a commitment to finish the season, sound, brilliant, happy with that. But it's too early. It's too soon. There's no need to put extra lives at risk.
Yeah.
I just, and that's counterintuitive to being a Liverpool fan. And wanting us to get the league boxed as early as physically possible.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine a world where in six weeks' time or 5 weeks' time, they could be in full contact training.
Well, it's less than, isn't it? It's a month away.
Yeah.
From the 12th of June is when they're meant to be kicking the ball. But the Premier League games are scheduled for the 12th of June. You're right.
So for me, I'd be like, well, I'll just give them another month. You know what I mean? And in a month's time, the likes of your Sergio Aguero's and whoever else is coming out might feel a little bit better. And if they don't want to stay involved, they don't have to stay involved. But then, is that the competition that we started, you know, on the flip side? Is that the Premier League that we actually started? But then injuries happen and all that type of stuff. So people fall by the wayside, don't they? So it's difficult. I don't think right now it's the right time to be bringing footy back, but it's also the perfect time because everyone's bored and needs something. And that's what I think the Tories are doing it for.
Yeah, and I get it. I do. You know, I said it last week, and this week has been an eye opener seeing it, because we're in a bizarre kind of like middle ground situation where you're right. You know, the lockdown rules don't have a massive impact on us. While there's no football, certainly, because we were talking about like we don't need to bring the lads back into it. We don't all need to be in a room. It's better for it, but it's not absolutely necessary to it, so we can afford to like see how it all plays out and runs its course and what have you. But I can understand from a footballer's perspective, because they're not having answers. I think it was mentioned on the Redmen podcast, like Tyrone Mings is just going like, you know, I'm meant to be doing my warm-ups in Australia at this point and all this kind of stuff. Like every bit of misinformation that's been fed out, they're talking about having to turn the face away while tackling. It's all on the information and the planning, and at least this is where Premier League football differs from the teaching profession, is that they will get it right as it can be, because they care for, they actually, as much as there's going to be a degree of risk involved because there is a pandemic that doesn't go away no matter what you do, the clubs will spend every penny they can to make sure that every possible measure is taken. There will be highly paid people working around the clock now at every football club. There'll be PhDs working on ways to train, to build up the fitness, to keep people safe, to keep people in isolation, to do all these things to make it work that doesn't exist in a local government.
Here's something that, you know, you mentioned the turning your face away when you're being tackled. Or you're tackling, right? That's fucking stupid. I think we can all agree, can't we? Is that what we pay 50 quid a week for, give or take, for our tickets? Is that football? Is that Premier League football? Because if there's too many of them rules, how will that affect a team that's fighting for their life? Do you know what I mean? Who's fighting to stay in the division, or fighting to stay up, or fighting for a European place? If you're not playing the same fucking sport, find another way of doing it.
Yeah, it's an absolute nonsense.
It's got to be the same sport. It's got to be football.
Yeah, and that's fine. Exactly, you're right. You can play it behind closed doors, provided it's the same sport. And yeah. I think the problem with this, Chris, is that we're entering into this period now, and the Premier League have slow played it, and I think to the credit, that was the right option. But the news cycle doesn't go away. So everyone's still talking about it. So everyone's still clamoring for information, and newspapers are still desperate for the click. So they need little tidbits. So they're acting ridiculously stupidly at times on... They're getting opinion and they're farming it off as fact. You know, they're getting, like, they'll be speaking to their sources of football clubs, and they'll be, what it'll be, because we had this with Gordon Taylor's stuff the other week when he mentioned, like, shorter halves, and then it was like, it's not going to happen. They've not said they're going to play shorter games of football. It was just that in a room, they've got together and they've brainstormed and they've gone, okay, let's throw every possible idea and permutation out there. Let's throw everything at the wall and then we'll pull it back from there. So that everything, let's think about every possible avenue. Pardon me. And all that's happening is all those little bits, and the most inflammatory of those bits become headlines, and then everyone talks about them for a bit. So it, you know, and some of it is a grain of truth. So like neutral stadiums kind of came a little bit out of this. That was leaked, and now we know that's been confirmed. But all these other little bits, like footballers are going to have to wear masks while they're playing, and footballers are going to have to turn their heads away while they're tackling, and it's going to be shorter halves, and there's going to be more substitutes and all that. Probably one or two of them might end up being a thing. But loads of them are probably just, it's Gordon Taylor doing his Alan Partridge into his dictaphone going, monkey tennis, you know, just to have the ideas out there. But this is the thing, it's a month away. We now need to prepare ourselves and prepare your Game of Thrones memes. Brace yourselves for all of the mad, here's what football will look like. Things that are probably, Chris, being leaked by clubs who don't want football to return, because they want the public to not want football. They want to make them want football not to come back, if that makes sense.
Not really, but I know what you mean. I think.
Yeah, they like if you're a relegated team, you want the general public to have what you've just said there. That's not football. So what's the point in bringing it back if it's not football? Because if you can get the general public to go, we won't watch it. We're not interested. Maybe that's their one last throw of the dice to have it not come back.
My role of mine is at that point. You call it as is. You find that model, the points per game. If you're gonna throw in 10 things and it's 30 minutes and it's extra subs and you've got to wear masks and you've got to turn around and you've got to wipe your cock on a bit of grass before you take a penalty, but whatever these rules are, right, that they come up with,
that's going to be in the Daily Mail tomorrow, mate, be careful, right.
Then at that point just go on the points per game model. Like, and just finish it on Sport and Merit that way. And that's not my preference, but I want to see, I'm not interested in watching a variation of football, of Premier League football. I want to see Premier League football, and ideally want to see it in the ground, and that ain't happening, and it ain't safe to do it. So give me Premier League football if you can, and if you can't, just give us the title.
A quick word from today's sponsor, it is Threads for Reds. Head to threadsforreds.com for the finest Liverpool clothing on the planet today. This isn't your normal, usual stuff. Top quality materials, they've recently upgraded, so many things that you get in this kind of world are disposable t-shirts, they're disposable clothing. These are pretty much the best of the best. This is my favorite one at the moment. A donation goes to the NHS support if you buy this t-shirt, but they've got t-shirts, they've got hoodies, they've got sweatshirts, and they've got mugs as well. All brilliant. Go and check it out at threadsforreds.com. We forgot to purge. Shall we purge? I'm bang up for purging.
Yeah, so I'm gonna purge a bollard this week, I think.
For though, there's a limited number of people who get this joke, and it's the people who were on my Twitch stream on Friday night.
Very fucking limited number of people, you're right.
Amongst Chris being one of them, Chris, do you want to tell the story?
Well, okay, it started, it was a Friday, it was quite cold, I think, as I remember. Probably had some bacon on toast, generally, on a Friday, I would have had bacon on
Chris
toast.
Chris was drunk and walked into a bollard on a 60-minute...
Hey, hey, I was getting there, just 12 hours away. Yeah, so we've done the Red Men thing that we do on a Friday, can't even remember the name of it. Being Liverpool, rewatch along, episode 2. with Jay Spearing. It's great. He's a legend. So we've done that. And so I'd had a skimful, and then I decided to do for me 1 hour at the time of allotted government sanctioned exercise. So I did that while watching him stream on Twitch. So it was pitch black. I'm looking at a phone and I'm just walking. And I'm drunk, and I just walk straight into a bollard and go flying over it, which also happened to be right outside my mate's house, which I was a little bit gutted about. But then the next night on me, obviously government sanctioned 1 hour of exercise, I then go in, it's much lighter and it's daytime, and I'm not on my phone on Twitch watching him do terribly at Twitch FPS, by the way. You got awful. Did you lose two games on the, anyway, relevant to the story. So I've taken a photo. Here's the photo. Why is there a bollard in the middle of the pavement? Why is this bollard in the middle of the pavement? There's no reason. The rest of the pavement doesn't have any bollards in it. So why is this one bollard, also a little bit shorter, right at my kneecap height, in the middle of this pavement? Why is there a... They've put their bin there so that the gaps are smaller as well, aren't they? So that you're more likely to walk into this bollard. It's absolutely ridiculous. Who's bollard in the pavement? Why is there a bollard on the pavement? Why is it smaller? All questions that need answering. And I tell you what, Keir Starmer, if you don't ask Boris Johnson during the next Prime Minister's questions, then you ain't got my vote.
Yeah, is it like crowd control? Is it a formerly really busy street and they're just looking to slow the flow? Yeah,
it's just bizarre, mate. It's like it's yeah. L15, you know what I mean? It's just in the middle of the pavement.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I'd have given anything to be able to see that. I wonder if there's any CCTV footage of it, like, because it was just the moment you were commenting along, and then it was just like just fell over the bollard, because of course I had no idea you were just out watching it on your phone while you were having a drunken wander around the streets. Because I'd messaged you and I was like, do you want to have a game of Pro Evo? And you're like, nah, I'm bladdered. I was like, okay, well, fair enough, that'll be fine. And then you cropped up in the comments. I was like, okay, fair, yeah, you must be just be sat off at home. No, you went out for a drunken walk at 9:30 at night on a Friday and walked into a bollard. Yeah. Good, so you're purging it at one individual bollard or all bollards?
Just the ones that are on the middle of the pavements. Okay, I think there's only one of them. I've never seen another one that's quite the same. Because I understand it, if you like. No, I don't. I don't understand it at all.
Yeah, that's fair. I want to purge nursery rhymes.
Oh, you can't.
Chris, they're all a massive load of bollocks. Have you actually read a nursery rhyme? Have you read the words in them?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm sorry, but who scolds a knave full sore? What does that even mean?
No, your problem is you don't want to purge old nursery rhymes. You want new ones to be created. Because let's be honest, no one's eating curds and whey nowadays, Paul.
I know. What is curds and whey?
If she had been sat there eating Nutella on a waffle, I'd get it. You know what I mean? It makes sense to me. Like, but so your issue is that they're all old and there's no new ones.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe that. Like, I like that. I don't mind. Some of them are fine, but there's a lot. And to be fair, I'm reading my daughter's mad into. She's got these two nursery rhyme books, and she absolutely adores them. But it's hard as a grown man. They use the word pussy too many times in too many different nursery rhymes, which is very hard to keep a straight face, and a four-year-old doesn't get the humour, and thank God. But there's just a load of absolute nonsense, absolute fucking nonsense. It's absolute gobbledygook, and it's one of those things where, like, you know, we should be able to retroactively go back and just be like, nah, I'm sorry, that is complete and utter gibberish. Get in the bin. What are we teaching our children? The problem is, of course, there's the big ones, and everyone remembers the big ones, and which twinkle, twinkle, fine.
No, but you know, it should be like twinkle, twinkle through the smog, or something like that. You know what I mean? Like that's really what we're looking for right now, because it's never a clear day round here.
Why can I ask? Why are we advising kids that if they fall down a hill, to fix their heads with vinegar and brown paper? That's just shocking advice. Absolutely shocking advice. There's tons of it. It's just absolute, complete and utter gibberish nonsense. And we're teaching our kids stupid words and stupid sentiments. Nursery rhymes need to get in the bin. And I'm prepared almost to write off the entire nursery rhyme genre just to purge the ones that are so terribly bad. And I know that's like punishing the whole of society for the ills of its worst few. But decisive action needs to be taken, Chris. Decisive action needs to be taken. I mean,
look, I don't agree with you, but I'll do it anyway. I'm not bothered. Yeah. I if it pisses a few people off, I'm with you.
Yeah, oh mate, I was trying to find some good examples of it, but they're all just absolute. Oh, it infuriates me.
Like the woman who lives in a cupboard, and that, like, cupboard, is it?
Little old woman who lives in a shoe. Basically, loads of old stories, and I've realised this, and I found this when we got a load of old Beano annuals, and we were reading through some of them from the 70s and 80s, and they are essentially illustrated guidebooks on child abuse, is what all the old Beanos are. Because effectively, what happens, I don't know if you remember, if you ever used to read the Beano as a kid. What are all the kids really scared of?
Parents and teachers.
And what do the parents and the teachers do to them if they're naughty?
They throw stuff at them, don't they, most of the time?
They either get the slipper or the cane, they basically get beaten up by their parents for breaking the rules. And I'm sure this may be
to you.
No.
Oh. Okay. Let's move on.
It is literally Dennis the Menace. Dennis the Menace pulls a harmless prank that goes wrong, and his dad twats him on the arse with a slipper for doing it.
Maybe, Paul, the Beano wasn't made for the kids. Maybe the Beano was made for the parents who fucking wrote it, who just wished he could do that.
Just beat the children up. Yeah,
you know, and like he got his aggression out that way in cartoon.
It sounds very noncy, doesn't it? But it is. It is what it is. Okay, there we go.
Just purge the nursery rhymes.
Let's purge nursery rhymes. That's once. Fine. We'll revisit the Beano in due course. Chris, do you want to have a go once again at our alternating word story?
Who started the last one?
I don't know.
Once
upon
a
time,
there
was
a
giant
pink
dildo
who
lived
upon
a
boat
sailing
surreptitiously
across
the
ocean
whilst
vibrating
like
a
huge
washing
machine.
It
was
inside
a
timid
vagina.
Lovingly,
but
what?
But B-U-T. Oh.
Yeah, lovingly, but aggressively
caressing
her
G
spot.
It
finally
decided
to
kill
all
of
the
insides
of
the
unfortunate
bitch.
The
end.
Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. If you want more from us, we've said it already, but we've got a Patreon. Come and join us. There's loads of great stuff going on there. We've got the chat group there going on in Discord. We can have a bit more things, and we've got some extra content. We will do some more Q&As coming up for you guys and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it helps support us in troubling times. If you haven't got it, don't feel you need to stretch yourself in any way, shape or form. But if you enjoy what we do and you want to help support the podcast, then do go over to use our Patreon. You'll see we're showcasing.
Little shout out from me. Ben, Robert, Kieran, Callum, I think, since the last episode that have signed up. Thank you to you guys as well. And obviously, thank you to the ones who signed up the first week.
amazing. And our absolute legends will be getting recognised at the end of the podcast. So stay tuned to see all their names coming up. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you very much for watching. Drop a like if you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel. Do it. Tantalisingly close to 20,000 subs, which is amazing. Thank you very much, guys. And yeah, we'll be back. Anything you want to discuss? We didn't do coulda, woulda, shouldas. We'll do them again next week. What are the things that you're missing in the world because of the pandemic? Is there anything you'd like to see purged? Let us know in the comments. Or you can tweet us at MateXPageAck as well. Or Gmail, it's matexpageach@gmail.com. Other than that, we'll be back with more next week. Ta-ra.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.